Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our special Father's Day edition of the broadcast. Recently at the West Virginia District Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International, our district superintendent, my friend, Pastor Dan Garlitz, delivered a message which was entitled Stay the Work, that was targeted to the church and targeted to the ministry. But today, as we play this broadcast for you, I want to repurpose it for the dads in our audience. I want to tell you your best days are ahead of you, the best days for your family are ahead of you, and when it comes to being a father, stay the work. Enjoy this message from West Virginia Superintendent Dan Garlitz.
Amen. Brother Garlitz, God bless you. Please come and minister.
Thank you, Bishop. Love you, pal. Thank the Lord. In the book of Haggai, verse 4 of chapter 2. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. I like it when the Lord talks to us, don't you? Amen. How many want to hear from the Lord tonight? Amen. I know this preacher does. Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to preach to you tonight this subject, stay the work. Stay the work. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege and the great opportunity that we have to stand before this congregation tonight, these wonderful preachers and their wives. Lord God, we ask for the mighty power and the anointing of your Spirit to be upon the preaching of your word tonight. Touch this preacher, Lord, with the gift of utterance, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, God. Speak to us here tonight. And oh God, let your word be strong and powerful, mixed with faith in them that hear. And let our lives be changed, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Before you seated, shake hands with a couple of people around you and tell them, stay the work. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The timing of this word from the Lord is very significant. It was the 21st day of the seventh month. The nation had just finished the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a time to remember how God had brought Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Is anybody here tonight glad? And can you remember that God brought you out of the bondage of sin? Hallelujah. Come on, is there somebody here that's glad and can remember the God that brought you out of the bondage of sin? This was a week-long celebration of Independence Day, complete with, if you please, all the fireworks. The day prior to Haggai's message was the Day of Atonement, when the sacrifices were offered to God for the nation of Israel, and the sin of the people had been forgiven. What a wonderful, wonderful occasion. These should have been the days, surely they should have been the days, which the people could have been encouraged and in a mode of celebration and rejoicing. God had done fabulous and great things for them in the past. And now they had been released from exile in Babylon. Israel had returned to their homeland. Jerusalem and the temple were being rebuilt. This should have been a time of joy and celebration. But instead of being encouraged, God saw that the people were grossly becoming discouraged, and some were even ready to quit. Bad news had a way of making its way around the city during the time of the celebration. Among the people, there were a select group, a few, that could remember Solomon's temple. And when they talked about how great the temple had been, it made the building of the new temple look like a small thing. The construction and the work at the hands of Zerubbabel seemed like an insignificant nothing compared to what King Solomon had built for God in their history. You see, under King Solomon, the nation of Israel, when it's at its apex of power and its riches, Solomon's temple was a masterpiece. It was said of that era, the half has never been told. How could this new temple that the people were now building or rebuilding even begin to compare with Solomon's temple? And so God asked the people, he said, is there any of you who can still remember how splendid, how wonderful, how marvelous the temple used to be? Few there were among them that could really remember how great it was, but everyone could imagine how fabulous and how wonderful it must have been in Solomon's temple, and how pitiful and small this temple that they were now building and their efforts being applied to seemed to be so insignificant and small in comparison. What was it that caused the people to become discouraged? What made them want to quit and to give up, throw in the towel and walk away? I'll tell you what it was. It was a wrong perspective. In other words, what I want to say to you tonight is they had the wrong way of looking at the project. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse number 10, the writer makes this statement, and I read from the NIV, and it says, "Wise, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions." What Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, I'd like to paraphrase it in this matter. I'd like to say this, the only thing about the good old days is the fact that they are old. Yeah, I remember the good old days. Central heat was not a thermostat on the wall. Central heat was a wood stove in the middle of the building. And as a teenager and a preacher's son, I grew up having to build those fires. And when church started, we were all close in the middle of the church, hovered around that little stove. By the time altar service was over, everybody was against the wall. Because the stove had not been able to be tended while the preaching was going on, sometimes it'd get cherry red. We called it central heat. If you wanted to go to the bathroom, it was a path. In the summertime, it was housed by wasps and bees and all those kind of things. In the wintertime, it was cold. We didn't have too many people running out in those days. That was one good thing. I remember all-night prayer meetings. I remember praying people through the Holy Ghost at 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember a lot of that. But you understand me tonight. We make the same mistake that the people made in Zerubbabel's day. What mistake is that, Brother Garlitz? Our perspective can sometimes be wrong. Instead of looking forward, we look back at the good old days. Then rather than have faith to move forward, we too find ourselves just like these people, becoming discouraged and stuck in the past. I've come to tell you tonight that God does not want the West Virginia District United Pentecostal Church to become stuck in the past. He has a future for this state. He has a future for your city. He has a future for your section. He has a future for this district. It is not good to think how much better it used to be in the days gone by, because our perspective in that moment is wrong. When we think of the good old days, you know what we do? We look back, Brother Scott, in rose-colored glasses. What do I mean when we look back in rose-colored glasses? What I mean is simply this. We look back and we remember just the good things. We remember just the good things. Now, it's a wrong perspective that focuses on the past and is losing hope for the future. I'm a little bit, a little frustrated with those that look at the church and say, I'm worried to death about the future. If you're worried about the future of the church, it's because you haven't been reading the book lately. I'm going to say it again. If you're concerned about the future of the church, it's because you haven't been reading the book lately. I read the back of the book, folks, and we win. I say I read the back of the book, and we win. I want to remind you tonight that the Church of Jesus Christ is not called to look backward or to retreat. In fact, I hear the word of the Master, and he said, that man or that woman that put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I remember the words of Jesus Christ when he said, remember Lot's wife. What was significant about Lot's wife? She looked back. Ladies and gentlemen, 2010, this is not the time to look back. This is the time to lift up your head. This is the time to look forward. The church is not going down. The church is going up. See what God tells the nation of Israel in Haggai verse 4 of chapter 2. He said, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. Be strong, O you people of the land, declares the Lord. And he said, and work. You see what happens when you begin to look back. And when you begin to lose vision for the future, the work stops. Are y'all getting it? This must not happen. We must not let ourselves lose perspective of who we are, where we are, and the time we live in as the church. You must stay the work. I say you must stay the work. Stay the work. He said, why? For I am with you. You see, that's God's plan from the beginning. Moses said, hey, you got a good idea, God. You got a great idea. But it's not for me. I can't do it. I'm slow of speech. I've got this problem. I got that problem. And he named all the reasons why he couldn't do it. And finally, after he and God got a little better understanding, he asked the Lord, I got an identity crisis. And that's our problem. Brother Fazlow addressed it this morning. We got an identity crisis. The devil wants to confuse us as to who we are. And God, when Moses says, who will I say when they ask me by what authority I come? When they ask me by what authority do I present myself to do the mission that you've asked me to do? What shall I say to them? What did the Lord say? He said, you tell them I am that I am has sent you. That's the same message that he has given to Zerubbabel, and it's the same message he's given to the church today. This is not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. This is not your church. This is God's church. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so the Lord says, I'm with you, declares the Lord God Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. And then he says, do not fear. God gives his people strength. Let me tell you what, folks, in this particular passage, three times the Lord tells his people, be strong, be strong, be strong. After the death of Moses, and Joshua is wondering what in the world he's going to do. That's a big pair of shoes to fill. What he was doing, he was looking to the past. God wanted him to look to the future. Yeah, he was looking to the past. God wanted him to look to the future. And what did God tell Joshua? He said, I'm the same God that was with Moses, and I'm going to be God with you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Hey, folks, we're not walking into the 21st century as the church by ourselves. In the New Testament, it says, and the apostles went everywhere, and they preached the word with signs following, and God worked with them. Hallelujah. The same God that was with Moses, and the same God that spoke to Zerubbabel, and the same God that spoke to Joshua is the same God that speaks in this conference tonight. You see, three times God tells them to be strong. Maybe their thoughts go like this. How can we be strong? Can we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps? The people can only be strong because the Lord is with them. You see, God is telling Zerubbabel and God's telling the people of Israel that the work that he has called them to do will not be completed by human energy. He says, I, the Almighty, will give you the strength and the power to do the work through my Spirit. How many remember a verse that is connected with this particular juncture of history? Not by, but by my
Spirit.
Says who? Hallelujah. You see, the work in your city, the work in your community, the work in West Virginia is not by our might. It is not by our power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. God spoke to his people to bring them courage. They needed courage at this moment in order to complete the work of God. I remember Brother Kitchen telling the story in a little simple Bible study many, many years ago when I was in my 20s. I heard him tell this story, and he said the devil was having an auction of all of his tools, and he had them all displayed. I can hear Brother Kitchen telling it, and said he had lying and cheating and stealing and adultery and idolatry and all manner of things displayed on tables, and there was a price listed for all of them, and the sale began, the story said, as Brother Kitchen told it. And finally there was displayed in a far area with no price tag a tool, and somebody asked the devil, why is there no price on that tool? And the devil said, that tool is priceless. What do you mean, priceless, devil? And the devil said, that too is discouragement. When none of these other things will work, I can always accomplish what I want to happen with that too, discouragement. The devil wants to discourage you, preacher. He wants to discourage you, preacher's wife. Oh yeah, the devil wants to discourage you about the work that God has called you to do. But I've come to this pulpit tonight to tell you that God is with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Stay the work! Stay the work! Stay the work! This is not a time to have less church. It's a time to have more church. This is not a time to turn your prayer room into a fellowship hall. Somebody said, Brother Gardens, what are you going to do when you're not superintendent anymore? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to have at least 5 home Bible studies a week. Every preacher in here ought to be teaching a home Bible study. I'm going to say it again. There's very few response. Every preacher in this building ought to be teaching a home Bible study. Stay to work. In verse number 6, Haggai the prophet of God goes on to say some more things from the Lord. And he said, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here's what God is saying to you. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. In verse 7, he said, I'll shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And he said, I will fill this house that you think is so pitiful and so small. And maybe you come to this conference and you're sitting listening to this preacher tonight, and maybe you think that the work that you're doing is pitiful and it's small. I got a word from the Lord for you tonight. Stay to work! Yeah. Stay to work. He wants to bring glory to the house that you're building for glory and honor to his name. Yeah. And so Haggai says, Lord said, I'm going to shake the nations. The desire of all nations is going to come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. And then he said, In case you don't really know it, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. When you look back to Solomon's temple, all you can think about is the silver and gold. I want you to know, I've got all the silver, I own all the gold. In fact, the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to me. And if I want silver and gold, there'll be silver and gold there. But what I'm really looking for is glory. I'm looking for some glory in my house. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm craving for the glory of God to fill the house. Hallelujah. It's not about our HVAC. It's not necessarily about our padded pews and carpet and all of our modern technology. We can have all of that and no glory. But I'm telling you, I'm looking for a place where God dwells and where the glory of his Spirit is. This is an hour where we're being invited to substitute the glory of God for entertainment, to substitute the glory of God with drama, to substitute the glory of God with program and technology. I'm going to tell you, all those things are great, but they cannot take the place of the glory of God. And then he makes this profound statement to these people that were looking at what they were doing as pitiful and small and insignificant. I know in my soul, I am preaching to some preacher right now. You think what you're doing is small and insignificant, and it really wouldn't matter if you packed your suitcases and left town. That's what the devil wants. But God's got a message for you. You're not just here by happenstance tonight. The Holy Ghost designed for you to be here. And he wants you to know that the glory of a latter house is going to be greater than the former. Ooh, hallelujah. And he said, in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord God. What was God telling his people at this particular juncture of time? I'll tell you what he was telling them. He was telling them the best is yet to come. Everybody say it, the best is yet to come. Some of y'all are still living in the past. You're having trouble saying that. You think the best is past. Is there anybody here tonight who will believe the word of the Lord that the best is yet to come? The best days in the West Virginia district are yet to come. The best revival in this state is yet to come. I want you to stand, everybody, with me right now, and I want you to raise your hands up toward the Lord, and I want you to ask him to change your perspective. I'm not done. Come on, pray. God, change my perspective. Change me before I leave this building tonight. Change the way I look at things. Change the way I see the church. Change the way I see my ministry. Change the way. Change the way I see myself in your presence, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint my mind tonight. Anoint me, oh God. Let me see as you see. You can be seated. You see, God was telling the people at this juncture, the best is yet to come. Because, why? Because the perspective of the people was wrong. They believed that nothing could ever compare to what was in the past. That nothing they did could ever compare to what Solomon did. But, oh, we long for the good old days, they said. But you know what God wanted them to get a hold of? He wanted them to see themselves like he saw them. And God said, my ways is far above yours as the heavens are above the earth. I don't see things like you see them. You see the good old days as something that you long for, you wish you could go back to. But God says, I'm calling you to quit looking back and start looking forward. Y'all not getting it tonight. The best revival is yet to happen in Tornado, West Virginia. The best revival in Tornado, Brother Coleman, was never when my daddy preached a revival in your little church there in Tornado. That wasn't the best revival. The best revival in Huntington has yet to happen. Can somebody see it? The best revival in Kaiser, West Virginia is yet to happen. God said, if I wanted you to build an elaborate temple better than Solomon's, then I'd give you all the gold and silver you needed. But he tells these people, he said, listen, my glory is going to fill this house. And it's going to be greater than anything Solomon ever did. And I race ahead in the pages and I get over into the New Testament. And one day I hear Jesus teaching. And he said, y'all talk and put such big stock in store in Solomon's temple. But he said, I tell you, a greater than Solomon is here.
Recently, I listened as Professor Philip Zimbardo explained the six various time frame references that people live with in their minds. Two facing toward the past, past negative and past positive. Two facing toward the present, present hedonistic and present fatalistic, or present fated. And then those who look toward the future with anticipation and planning, and even those who, from a religious perspective, look toward the future with regard to the afterlife. Dad, I want to encourage you, don't live in the past, either past positive or past negative. Look toward the future and stay the work of being a dad. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.